As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
And over the line is Crosby trying to go wide on Phaneuf, and he knocks him down. Puck comes back to Letang, though. And on the far half board, winding with it is Blake Como. The shot scores!
That was the overtime winner for the Pittsburgh Penguins, completing the hat trick for none other than Blake Como as the Penguins 4-3 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime tonight in Pittsburgh. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlyle in a few moments' time. We'll head down to Pittsburgh, hear from many of the players and other Sportsnet Rogers fan people that are down there. And we, of course, always welcome your calls on Leafs Nation postgame, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Ozzy, so many storylines, being down 2-0 to the Penguins after one. It's a nice point on the road for the Maple Leafs. And you talk about Malkin, you talk about Crosby, not many people talking about Blake Como.
Well, why would they? You know, here's a guy that they signed in the offseason. I don't know if you've looked at his history of where he has been.
Yeah, you know, he's got that 124-goal season for the New York Islanders. He didn't even score a lot in junior with Kelowna. Okay. Just that one blip. And then of late, as you say, he's been a journeyman type, and he's got 8 goals now this season.
Well, he certainly does. He had 5 of total all last year, and that was with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a little bit forgotten, bounced around the last number of years. But as you mentioned, he had a good year with the Islanders in 2010-11, I believe, with the 24 goals. And yet with Pascal Dupuis out of the lineup, he gets elevated a little bit. And with this new look, Mike Johnson type of Pittsburgh Penguin team that's all about puck possession and move, he comes up with a great game. But I got to give the Leafs a lot of credit. You know, you mentioned some of the storylines with the Leafs falling down 2-0 after one period of play. And then for the better part of obviously winning the second period 3-1 and then really staying with the Penguins the rest of the way. I give them a lot of credit the way that they battled back. I thought there was some keys, certainly in that third period. The Tyler Bolzac goal near the end of period number 2, shorthanded effort that tied the hockey game. So wherever you want to take us, Gord, I'm right there with you. But a well-deserved point for the Maple Leafs on the losing end.
Well, and even just before that overtime goal, I mean, 4-on-4, mm-hmm. and Dion Phaneuf taking on Sidney Crosby and really rode him out of the play, did his part of play really well. Give Crosby credit that when he gets taken out, he moves the puck to a good place, so the Penguins kept possession, and ultimately Como got the goal.
Yeah, you know what, and you got to wonder, because Crosby went to the front of the net, and whether he distracted Bernier or not, I know he put his stick up near where the puck was trying to go, and Bernier, I don't know if he got handcuffed with the glove, and yet it didn't seem as though there was a lot of traffic in front of the net, yet it goes to show you, get the puck to the front of the net, good things do happen. You can't score unless you put the puck towards the net. I think that's all Como was trying to do. Crosby distracted Bernier, and the Pens find a way to win.
Well, welcome calls on our Leafs Nation postgame. Phone lines 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Where are we going to go first, Matt? Let's head Port Colborne way. We'll go to Ron in Port Colborne. Ron, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
Good evening. How you doing?
We're good, thanks.
Oh, okay. Listen, you know what? I was just telling your guy, your screener, your call. I don't like the 2 soft goals that Bernier laid him, but we got to keep putting them in because we know what Reimer is. I like Reimer, but we know what he is, and we got to find out if this kid's going to stop doing that, and we got to find out if he's going to be a number one because he's got the potential to be, like from his potential, to be a superstar goalie, really. But we got to find out if he's going to stop doing this. And find out if this is going to be a problem or not. So I would continue to put this guy in because I think he made some good saves. And my second point would be to this game is that I don't know why the Leafs didn't go for it. They outplayed them really in the second half of the game, and in the overtime they seemed to kind of back off. And Kessel and that like and Van Riemsdyk had a lousy game. I mean they were not nowhere to be found. So that happens once in a while. But overall, glad we got the point, and I think we outplayed Pittsburgh overall.
Ozzy?
So where do you want to begin? You're talking about a couple of soft goals on Bernier. I'm not sure exactly which one you're talking about. Are you talking about maybe the Como tip in the second period as a bad goal? If you look on the other end of things, I thought maybe there was a couple of bad goals on Fleury. And, you know, Fleury's won a Stanley Cup. And, yes, he's been kind of suspect the last couple of years in the playoffs, but I'm not sure what you were alluding to. I thought Bernier made some good saves in that, you know, third period right off the get-go on Malkin. So, you know, while Bernier, I think, has had his moments this year of maybe not being as consistent as we have liked, we certainly can't pin this one on Jonathan Bernier.
Well, Ron giving a little bit unconditional love there, just talking about Bernier's faults, but also saying the Leafs should go with him. You know, 26 seconds into the game, that first goal, and that was the first by Como, and that's the last thing you wanted to start the game. And there just was kind of a little bit of sloppiness and unfortunateness, whatever it may be, by the D. They started Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner. And as well, Bernier just, Pittsburgh got a fortunate bounce and then just not being able to really track the puck well. I mean, that was sort of the sloppy goal.
That's fine. And then, you know, further to the next point of Kessel and JVR, and I'm not sure if Franz van Riemsdyk snoring caught up with JVR because he was pretty well quiet tonight. And Phil, did he go out with his dad last night? Because, you know, again, Phil was, I don't know, he just did not seem to be in this game for whatever reason. And so you give credit to the Santarelli, Kadri, and Komarov line, two goals in that second period. In spite of a Kadri giveaway to Malkin to start the third period, I thought that line was actually pretty good together as a newly formed unit.
Well, you know, and again, of course, our phone line's open at 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590-43. Overtime win, Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs as we're on Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. A look at the ice time. I mean, just, you know, balanced pretty well with the four lines, and you're alluding to Franz van Riemsdyk, the fathers. This was the trip that the fathers were there, and so we don't know if they shared rooms and some of the fathers snore or not, and we don't know if they went out in the town, a few of them, but it made it a better after 20 minutes. That second period certainly made it a much better visit for the dads.
Yeah, absolutely, and when you look at the four lines that Randy Carlyle employed, obviously getting back Lupul and David Booth is going to increase your ice time on the fourth line, and Booth had 9:33. Daniel Winnick, interesting enough, only 9:52 of ice. Joffrey Lupul had just over 10 minutes, but who I really thought was a real good, healthy contributor to the back end was Corbinian Holzer. He did a great job breaking up a two-on-one, which led to one of the Komarov goals. Certainly did not look out of place. At first, I thought, oh boy, you know, a couple of decisions, maybe up in the neutral zone where, boy, oh boy, you've got to move your feet and make good decisions. I thought he really did settle into his own and paired up with Stefan Robidoux, which is a difficult transition for a right shooting defenseman to move over to the left side. Yeah, he's a veteran guy. He's been around the block for quite some time, but let's give Corbinian Holzer credit for his first NHL game back in quite some time, Gord, going into Pittsburgh and against one of the top offensive teams in the National Hockey League coming into tonight's game. I thought he asserted himself very well.
Well, and he's a plus two of the night. I mean, plus minus isn't everything, but it's certainly something significant. I guess I'm contradicting myself by saying that. In his case, being plus two, and, you know, the TV picked it up correctly, that on the first goal by Leo Komarov, it's a nice play by Holzer to get the puck out of the zone. He goes to the bench. Cody Franson just comes on. And when the Leafs score, when Komarov scores, Franson goes back to the bench right away so that Holzer gets the plus. Pretty unselfish.
No. He was on the ice. Cody Franson was on the ice.
Oh, so we're talking about the second goal.
Well,
then.
Yeah, for that first goal. So, anyway.
No, wait a sec. No. The first goal, 12, 25, 43, 45, 47, 55.
Well, that's incorrect. I'll take you back to the tape. It's a mute point, by the way.
Well, no, it's not. I'm making the point. I think it's a rather astute point.
Well, we saw him going back to the bench, but he was not on the ice for that first goal. Anyways, he gets a plus. That's one of those.
And Cody Franson's plus two as well. Wayne
Gretzky,
all happy.
Wayne Gretzky rules, one of the phantom assists of the 80s.
Well, there's a lot of guys who get phantom assists. Well, anyway, it's anyway, nice game for Corbinian Holzer. How many minutes did he? Because, you know, that was one thing you brought up early, that Leafs are down 2-0, and if Holzer really doesn't get his wits about him, and he was a little bit tentative, a little bit shaky early on, then all of a sudden you got to start cutting down to 5D or 4D. I mean, Robidoux certainly shows that, you know, he's not a guy that can go 20 minutes. Holzer's able to play 17:50.
Wait a minute. He's not a guy that can go 20 minutes.
Well, 17:55 is about perfect for Robidoux.
But he can't go 20 minutes because he's 37 years of age.
17:55 is all
you
want.
17:50 for Holzer.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
That's better than you thought, right?
I know. Well, it's better than we all thought as we got set for it and said, okay, that could be a problem. Okay, we're going to come back. We'll figure out our problems.
I have no problem.
Hey, should we grab that one caller, Matt? Yeah, let's grab this one caller, and then we're going to come back and
who's this, Gord?
Head to Chris Johnson, and I'm just setting up the show here. I'll tell you one sec which call we're going to go next to. Matt directs the traffic. He tries to get astute callers on, our man Matt Brown, manning the waves behind there, piloting the ship. Chris Johnson will join us in a few minutes' time. He is in Pittsburgh, of course, covering it for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, hey. And we'll also hear from Leaf head coach Randy Carlisle.
Hey, if we're going to encourage callers, can they not contradict themselves when they ask questions? You know, on one hand, you don't like Bernier, but you want him to play more. So I don't quite get it sometimes. Anyways, just an observation.
But that's what fans are all about. That's what fans are all about. And that's what Leafs Nation postgame is all about. We'll put the callers on hold for a sec because Chris Johnson is ready to join us in a few minutes' time. We'll come back. It's a 4-3 overtime win for the Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Big point for the Leafs considering they were down 2-0 after one period of play. We carry on with Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Malkin down the half boards, slips it in front of the net, back to the blue line to Letang, broken up there by Bozak. Bozak's breaking. Bozak's in on goal. He's right in on goal. He scores!
A vintage classic, Joe Bowen call, and why not? Another shorthanded goal, 2-2 games for Tyler Bozak, almost identical to what he did against Detroit. That tied at 3-3 late in the second period. Ultimately, it's a 4-3 overtime win for the Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Our man Chris Johnston joining us to talk about the game. Leafs Nation postgame callers, just keep calling in. Matt will put you in the queue. We'll get back to some of them in a second, but want to talk to our man Chris. We're just saying a lot of good storylines there. It's a nice win for the Penguins, a unheralded player getting a hat trick, but it's a good point for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Chris.
Well, it certainly was, and you know we could all have looked at this game and known that it posed some obvious issues for the Leafs. And I think one thing. You know, I haven't heard what Randy Carlisle said after the game, but, you know, I think one thing that they can be very happy with is it's another night where they hold an opposition under 30 shots. You know, I thought they played, you know, well, certainly not a perfect game. There's no such thing. There's still four goals against them on the board. I just thought they played a little tighter structurally, and some of the things that worked well in the two wins that came before it continued over in a tough place for them to play. So, you know, I think coming back from an early deficit, and to you know get that point, but get it in the way they did, there's a lot here to feel good about for the Leafs as they fly home tonight.
Chris, I think you got to give Randy Carlisle a bit of credit here for the way that he utilized Kadri, Komarov, and Santarelli. Those three were on the ice for the start of the game, getting down 1-0, 26 seconds into the game. They get a couple of goals, which actually kickstarted the Leafs in that second period. Komarov with two goals, and then even in the third period, when Kadri turned the puck over to Malkin early on that breakaway, and yet Randy Carlisle kept going back to Nazem Kadri, showing a bit of confidence. Well, your thoughts on that line in particular and the way that Randy handled his bench?
Yeah, he really stuck with those guys, and, you know, and for good reason, because they were, you know, in addition to the things you mentioned, they were creating a lot, and some of that, I think, is that they were spending a lot of time on the ice. They were, you know, high opportunities for the good and the bad. And, you know, that unit worked very well tonight. I mean, we can watch, you know, Komarov, I think, play a lot more games in the NHL and never expect to see him score two goals again. So, you know, some of it was, you know, a bit of, you know, good tidings coming their way as well. But, you know, I thought that line wouldn't survive the night when things started. I assumed Joffrey Lupo would find his way back one way or another to play with Kadri, but I was wrong. They were very good, and I expect they'll stay together here moving forward to Saturday.
Chris, going to get some of Ozzie's perspective about this later on because he follows the Toronto Marlies quite closely. But, you know, Corbinian Holzer kind of became the forgotten guy last year. And for a right-handed shot, which they really craved getting one, he never seemed to be the guy in the radar where he had in the previous season or two. Talk about why that happened and certainly a nice first game for him this year.
Well, you know, it's a guy that's had some opportunities in the past in the NHL and you know, had some good moments, but they've been pretty fleeting, I think. And, you know, he's getting on. He's an older player, and we know how it all is. It's the nature of the business. You get a Stuart Percy who comes up and makes strides and develops. He's a first-round pick. You know, Petter Granberg's a guy as well that's, you know, probably surpassed him in some ways in the hierarchy, the pecking order, just with his play down there. And you're right. I think for Benny Holzer, you kind of know what you're getting from him. And tonight, you know, he did a very good job, I think, you know, given the situation he was in, because, you know, if the two guys I just mentioned weren't injured with the Marlies, you know, it's very unlikely Corbin Holzer would have got this call-up. So, you know, I think he knows the situation, and as I mentioned, he's been here before, and so he knows that he's got to, you know, he might only get a game or two. You never know in this league. I know Polak's out a while, but I'm not sure the status of the other guys with the Marlies that could come up. So, you know, it's really imperative for him to make an impression, and, you know, I'm certain he did here tonight on Randy Carlyle.
Chris, it's hard to, I think, give an assessment to Joffrey Leupel and both David Booth in their returns to the lineup. David Booth, his first game as a Toronto Maple Leaf, having missed the entire season due to that broken foot. And yet, this is probably a very positive thing to get those guys back in your lineup. I think it, for the most part, challenges everybody else that's playing ahead of them and gives Randy a bunch of flexibility. So those guys got about 9 and 10 minutes respectively, and maybe this is obviously a positive thing, or this is the four type of lines that Randy sees himself being able to utilize and play as things progress.
Yeah, you know, it's the benefit, I think, Mark, of a lot of the depth they talked about in the summer, you know, signing these guys. It was the first we saw Booth in meaningful games, and, you know, obviously we know what Joffrey Leupel can do, and, you know, I'll expect, as I'm sure most people do, that he'll play up the lineup eventually here as he gets his feet under him. But, you know, it's kind of a nice luxury to have here tonight that, you know, he's able to keep those guys on essentially, you know, I think we consider a fourth line, but you're right that they were always kind of there as a reminder if something wasn't working above them, that very easily, especially Joffrey Leupel, could have been plugged in somewhere up, you know, higher in the rotation. And, you know, it's looking, you know, to this point, like we do have some of that depth they talked about. I mean, it's sometimes it's tough to evaluate that. There's a lot of buzzwords that people throw out, but, you know, the lineup does seem to have a bit more there now, and we're certainly seeing, you know, with guys like Komarov coming in and Santarelli, you know, making an impact, you know, I think specifically in the puck possession part of the game and playing to a structure that the Leafs, you know, perfectly lacked last year, and there's some modest improvement here. You know, and I think that Randy Carlyle likes having, you know, a few more options right now, the guys he can trust that can play than he did certainly last season.
Chris, on the Pittsburgh side, you certainly notice a different, more up-tempo style. If Jenny Malkin always dominant, maybe we expect too much, but did you find Sidney Crosby rather ordinary?
He was until the last goal. You know, I thought he did a heck of a job on that play to fight off Dion Phaneuf and keep the puck moving and, you know, get it back to, you know, obviously to Como, and he was also distracting Bernier in front on that goal. I mean, he took a few slow replays to be sure that he didn't tip it, so I agree that it wasn't his strongest game, but, you know, he possesses that skill that the greats always do, and that he can have a sort of mundane kind of night and still put 2 points up, which is why, you know, he did reach 800 points with that overtime goal. He 60 earned on it, and he's done it in, you know, one of the fastest in history. And, you know, I agree that he hasn't played great, but he's still the NHL scoring leader, and I know this season he's certainly been a real driver for that Penguins team.
Chris, is this one of those lulls that periodically Phil Kessel gets in? Pretty quiet the last 2, 3, maybe even 4 games for that top line. I know JVR a couple of games ago has a couple of goals. Tyler Bozak has played very well. In fact, back-to-back nights of shorthanded goals. And Phil Kessel has been kind of mysteriously quiet. Not sure if, and I was mentioning to Gord, maybe he went out with his dad last night, but was very quiet as far as just his overall performance going up against a team that you should be pretty excited to play against.
Are you worried about Phil Sr.'s off-ice habits there, Ozzie, or what?
just a suggestion.
Well, yeah, I don't know about those things. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Kessel is, you know, to me, this guy has earned a whole bunch of rope, you know, for me personally. I mean, he's been absolutely as consistent as you can be in his 4 seasons here in Toronto. And you're right, it's been a couple games where he hasn't maybe made the biggest impact and certainly hasn't been scoring the goals. But, you know, until this, you know, goes on a lot longer, it'll have to go on a lot longer, I guess, before it concerns me. But, you know, I'm sure Phil will want to get back to his game. He's still kind of right in the zone you expect him with production-wise. And, you know, I think it's tough to be a player in the league 82 games and performing and being noticeable all the time. I mean, we just finished saying that Sidney Crosby really didn't have his best game either here tonight. And to me, it's just something that creeps in yet. I don't think it's something that would be a concern, at least at this point.
Chris, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you on Saturday, I guess.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris Johnson, joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca.
You know, I was only kidding, right? I wasn't suggesting anything off ice or going out with a dad or anything like that.
Ozzy says, well, you know, the other
Chris will get used to this.
And right? Also, our earlier caller, Ron, you know, he didn't, you know, about contradicting. He wasn't, he called back. He said, talked to Matt. So he was making himself clear. He's a big Jonathan Bernier fan and that. Now, but you got the tough one because I know you're always distracted. People do not realize. Mark Osgren's got so many things he's got to think about. The keys to the game, which we'll go over later on. But the player of the game, is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. And we've had some games that are clunkers where you're stretching to try to find a name. Then we have other games like tonight where I imagine there's a few that merit consideration.
Oh, yeah? Do you want to give me some?
No, because you pick it. No, I don't want to.
I already picked it, but you can go ahead and throw it out there if you think it might be one of the ones I select.
Okay, I mean, this isn't like charades or something. Okay, I will say, I would say Kadri. I would say Holzer. I would say Bozak. I would say, who else would I say? That whole Komarov, of course, Leo.
Yeah,
as well.
Thanks, Gordon. That was the guy who I decided to pick.
Well, that's the easy one. I was picking the other ones, okay? Komarov's the easy one.
This is player of the game.
That's
brought
correct.
Brought to you by Tip Top Tailors.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Now you said some names out. So I threw some names.
But you didn't throw the obvious one that got the Leafs back in the hockey game. In fact, after being down 2-0 in the hockey game after one period of play, Leo Komarov, at 8-11, scores his third of the season, and then just 2.5 minutes later, scores his fourth of the season. And how many points is that for Leo Komarov now, Gord? Do you want to look at your stat sheet?
Well, for each goal there, he gets a point.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to add it up. Well, you got all this, I got all this paper.
Anyways,
over here.
You know, he's got 16 points on the season in 22 games.
There you go.
16 points. That's one point behind James Van Riemsdyk. And I know it's not necessarily goals, but yet they were very timely goals. And all the other players that you described that did have positive games, Komarov is the guy that gets it done for me. And by the way, 6 hits on the night, okay? So he gets it done consistently. He's the player of the game.
Well, another one is another two guys are guys making their returns, Joffrey Leupel and David Booth.
But they're not player of the game.
Of course they're not. They're just one player of the game. I'm just throwing other guys in the runner-up thing. So if for some reason that Leo Komarov can't uphold for the entire year or the entire few days his player of the game, then it goes to the second place person.
And then why don't we just give honorable mention to Stefan Robidoux playing left defense as a right-handed shot.
Okay. I like it. The more the merrier. We'll come back. We'll get the whole team in on this in a bit. Consideration for the player of the game. We'll have some out-of-town scores. It's always an active night, interesting night on the out-of-town scoreboard. I hear from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle as well. A 4-3 overtime victory for the Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Kadri in on the left wing for Santarelli, who darts into the corner and stops. Back to the point to Phaneuf. The shot coming! Scores! Holy Mackinac, that looked like an Indian rubber ball.
Leo Komarov, second of the game, fourth of the season, and he said, oh boy, I may become the Tip Top Taylor player of the game with that one, and sure enough, he was right. That tied it up. The Leafs were down 2-0, tie at 2-2, ultimately tie at 3-3 in regulation, lose 4-3 in overtime against the Pittsburgh Penguins. As we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're going to get your keys to victory in a bit. We'll go back to them. Let's get the other
two. We haven't even gone over them yet.
I know.
What do you mean, get back to them?
Well, you know, you give them before the game. So we're going, but we've got out-of-town scoreboard. So let's do the out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
We'll start in Buffalo, Gord, where the Winnipeg Jets defeat the Buffalo Sabres 2-1 for Winnipeg. Brian Little on the power play, his eighth of the season in the first period. Then Michael Frolik with his fifth shorthanded affair in the second. That eventually was the game winner. Chris Stewart in the third, his second for the Sabres. The Jets beat Buffalo 2-1 in Buffalo.
Okay, now here's the one I'm going to have. Let's see. It's a 1-0 win for the Florida Panthers. Roberto Luongo gets injured, by the way, so he has to split it with Al Montoya. So they win, splits the shutout. They win 1-0, and the only goal is scored by Nick Bjugstad. 21 seconds in the game. Okay, so just for a little different flavor, ESPN Deportes is covering the Carolina-Florida game tonight. I don't think the announcer knew this would be the only goal of the game, but at the 21-second mark, here is their radio call.
Ahí está el primer disparo con potencia, peligro, se siente en paso. Lo intentaba Brandon Pirri, Brandon Pirri al fondo, golazo, golazo, gol.
Thank God it was only 1-0. The guy would have expired. So that really was the call, the true call.
This is a soccer impersonation, right?
Well, he's doing the game, but obviously he's doing the soccer flavor.
That's the way
yeah.
the Spanish
I know,
it, right?
I know, but what if it was 9-3 or something like that? Well, anyway, it ends up being the only goal, and that's it. So the Florida Panthers, the 1-0 win over the Carolina Hurricanes, and we wonder about different teams in the looking at the Connor McDavid sweepstakes and that. Those are two of them.
You know what? Florida's done pretty well, surprisingly, under the new coaching staff there in Florida. Give a lot of credit there. But
insight.
What do you mean great insight? Of note.
You're looking for another out-of-town score.
No.
And you're muttering
no.
about the Florida coaching staff.
No, what I wanted to tell you, yeah, because okay. I had a bit of a brain cramp
okay.
as to who's behind the bench.
What did you want to tell me?
Einstein? Go ahead. Who's behind the bench in Florida?
Gallant.
Okay, thank you.
No sweat.
Anyways, of note in that game, Luongo did get hurt.
Correct.
But he gets the win.
Yeah.
And Montoya makes 17 saves in the third period. So that was my only little bit of tidbit for
okay,
you.
Okay, good stall.
I'd like to give you a little tidbit.
Okay.
And I did stall because brain cramp. Forgot who was the coach there.
Well, let's go to the
I'm
other
honest,
side.
At least.
Let's go.
You try to sugarcoat stuff.
Anyways, go to the LA-Minnesota game.
Yeah, go ahead. I've already given you my...
Okay.
Oh, am I giving you this one? Okay, anyways, 4-0 was the final in Minnesota. LA, all four goals in the first period. Mike Richards, his fourth. Dustin Brown, his fourth. Tyler Toffoli with number 9, and Justin Williams with his fifth of the season. Marty Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play last night or the night before? You corrected me on something earlier, but nonetheless, Jones in back-to-back wins for the LA Kings is in net. So.
Okay, we'll go to counseling ourselves later on. Let's just muddle through this. Here we go. Detroit, 5-2 winners over the Philadelphia Flyers. The return of Pavel Datsyuk, successful to say the least. He scores twice. He's got 7 for the year. Steven Weiss, again, he's got 3. Yurko, his second, and Zetterberg, his fifth for the Philadelphia Flyers. Claude Giroux, his 7th. Voracek, his 8th. It's 5-2 Detroit. Beats the Philadelphia Flyers.
How about the return of Marty St. Louis into Tampa Bay? The Rangers visiting the Lightning, and the Lightning come out on top 4-3. Scores for the Rangers. Zuccarello with his 4th. On the power play, Dan Boyle gets his 1st of the season. And then in the third period, Ricky Nash with his 15th. I think he's 2 behind Tyler Seguin. The goal scorers for Tampa Bay. Stamkos with his 15th of the season. Then it was Ryan Callahan. He had 2 on the night, goals 9 and 10. And then Nikita Kucherov with his 8th of the season. How about Ryan Callahan, Gord? I mean, he's got 10 on the season. They went into New York a couple of weeks ago. He scored 2 goals there in the 5-1 Tampa win, and he gets 2 more goals against his old team. Pretty good, eh? Marty was scoreless, didn't even have a shot on net.
And the classic trade that helps both teams. Really did. It was a pretty big, pretty significant trade. How about Winnipeg? 2 wins in a row now. They bounce back. They beat Columbus the other night, beat Buffalo 2-1. As usual, it's a shorthanded goal that is key. That's
Sorry,
the winner.
I already told you that.
Oh, did you?
Already.
Okay. Yeah. How about the New York? I got distracted. The New York Islanders, here's why I got distracted.
Yeah.
3-2 winners over the Washington Capitals. This is, okay, their 4th best ever start of a regular season. They're 16-6-0. Back in 78-79 and 76-77 when they were a dominant team. and then 81-82 when they won the Stanley Cup. So those were 3 years they were among the elite in the NHL, the only three best starts to a season. 3-2 win.
Wow.
Anders Lee, his fourth. Travis Homanek, his third. And the winner's John Tavares in overtime, his ninth. So the Capitals do pick up a point. Both their goals are Alexander Ovechkin, who's got 11 now.
Well, you know what? You've just really captured my attention. Their fourth best start in team history. That's wow. Good. It's like, wow.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Top that.
Anyways, in Colorado, after two periods of play, the Blackhawks leading 2-1 for Chicago. Jonathan Toews on the power play with his 10th. Also on the power play for Chicago, Andrew Shaw gets his fourth. Maxime Talbot replied for Colorado, his second of the season. Like I said, it's after two periods in Colorado.
How about Colorado last night that they're down 3-0, switch goaltenders, come back and beat Arizona or lost Arizona?
Yeah, that might have been two nights ago.
It might have been last night. No, okay. It might have been last week. Okay. might have been last year. they had a big comeback that way. Calgary, San Jose just getting underway. That is tied 0-0. Meanwhile, let's take a look at our game here, find our summary, and talk about the Toronto Maple Leaf game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, 4-3. And we talk about early on, I mean, a lot of different ebbs and flows if you didn't happen to catch the game. And first one is early on, Maple Leafs come out, and the worst predicament you could have asked for, 26 seconds into it, Blake Como, his first of what ends up being a hat trick, is 6 from Malkin and Erhoff.
You know what? There was a good board that Rogers had put on tonight. I think this is the 8th game of the season, the shortened season. The Leafs have given up the first goal in about the first 3 minutes of the game and probably about the third game in the first minute. I mean, that's poor, poor starts, but give the Leafs credit, right, Gord?
Yeah.
The fact is that they didn't say, oh no, here we go again. And maybe because they're on the road. I mean, if this happened at home, I don't know what your thoughts are, but yet maybe we're past fan gate or salute gate or whatever it is that we're
I think in general you're right. For anybody on the road, it's you don't like being down 2-0. Yeah. Regardless, but your fans don't get on you right away or anything like that, so yeah, no doubt about it, it was a nice way to sort of get your ebbs and flows and momentum going. And then the first period of Jenny Malkin, and boy, as you said, Ozzy, power play goal, chintzy penalties again. I'm not going to complain about them, but I guess I just did. I thought there's some chintzy yep. penalties from Letang and Crosby. That made it 2-0. And if Jenny Malkin, you said it's your any scorer's dream to be able to just skate into a perfectly set up shot and wire it.
Well, that's all about puck distribution for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They move it around so well. And yeah, there's nothing better than getting and stepping into a one-timer where Letang just put it right into Malkin's wheelhouse. And there was traffic in front. Bernier has no chance. And that's 2-0, the NHL's best home power play and number one overall in the National Hockey League at about 42% at home right now. They're guns ablazes.
Shots on goal, though. First period, Leafs outshot the Penguins by a margin of 14-7. Then the second period, very different story. Never say die. And especially Leo Komarov. It turns out this is his first ever multi-goal game of his NHL career. Scored 2 goals in the second period. First is third from Santarelli and Nazem Kadri.
What's this, his second NHL season?
So I just anyways,
wow,
stats,
multiple
yeah.
game. And his first was in a shortened season, so give the guy a little bit of credit there. But anyways, a great play by
goal, okay?
Great play by Corbinian Holzer to break up a 2-on-1, which I believe then led to this goal. Mm-hmm. Holzer goes off the ice. Franzen jumps on the ice, and the goal was scored, and then Franzen goes back to the bench, so Holzer jumps on, and he gets a plus. Anyways, a little pet peeve of mine. And yet Komarov gets the Leafs on the board in the hockey game.
Okay, pet peeve, but also very unselfish of Cody Franzen.
No, I'm talking about NHL statisticians.
Okay, yeah, I know, but Cody Franzen went, I know, Cody Franzen went off and let Holzer get the plus.
Gave him a big hug. Way to go, Cody.
Then Komarov again, his fourth of the year, second of the game. But did I say it's his first ever multi-goal game in NHL history? Okay, from Phaneuf and Santarelli. That was just 2 minutes and 37 seconds later.
You know what? Great work by Santarelli down low to get the puck to Dion at the point. And I think this was the goal that I was trying to think of. Joe Bowen describing a goal as follow the Indian rubber ball. Is this what he was talking about?
Yeah.
Because
lacrosse ball, whatever you want to call it.
Komarov tips it, it bounces, and Fleury has no chance. So nonetheless, a huge goal. That was about, 3.5 minutes after Komarov pulled the Leafs within one and halfway through the game. Now it's tied at 2.
Blake Como was 7th from Chris Kunitz and Evgeny Malkin. That was an even strength goal.
But Como, this was one of the ones where Kunitz just gets the puck to the front of the net. Great individual effort by Malkin, and this one is tipped. It was the night of tips, and
yes,
Como was Johnny on the spot in the slot. Bernier has no chance.
Blake on the spot. He was tonight, that's for sure. And Tyler on the spot. Tyler Bozak doing what he did Saturday against the Detroit Red Wings. Almost identical this time. Sid the Kid in the unusual role of making a bit of a faux pas. Tyler Bozak unassisted, his ninth of the year.
Well, you know what? Great anticipation by Bozak in his own end. And yeah, that was a bad pass by Sidney Crosby, but give Bozak a lot of credit. He anticipates very well. He goes in on the breakaway and makes a great shot. Beats Fleury to the blocker side, and second goal in two nights as far as shorthanded affairs. And I don't know if you saw the TV after that, but Rick Tocchet, interesting enough, was having a little chat with Sidney Crosby. You don't see that too often.
I found that very interesting.
I don't know if Sidney was going in one ear and out the other, and yet interesting little bit of dialogue going on there.
Well, you know, there's very few people. I think Tocchet might be one of the guys that he respects in that fashion. But, yeah, he certainly was going over the things with Sid about a rare faux pas. But then in overtime, he didn't get an assist, or he did
assist. Yes, he did.
Sidney Crosby does get an assist, as well as Chris Letang. It's Blake Como completing the hat trick, is eighth of the year at the 253 mark.
You know what? And give Dion Phaneuf a lot of credit here on this play, even though they get scored on. And yet I thought that Dion played Crosby really well one-on-one. And this just shows you the strength and the lower body abilities of Sidney Crosby to maintain his balance and at least control the puck to get it back to the point. And then what does he do? He gets right back up and goes to the front of the net. I don't know if he distracted Bernier a little bit. Didn't seem as though there was a lot of traffic in front of Jonathan Bernier. It handcuffed him, and yet what a night for Blake Como. That's his third of the night, the game winner. And the Penguins go to 15-4-2 on the season. And a number of surprising teams, Gordon, in the National Hockey League, but Pittsburgh is one for me in this early going.
Yeah, we talked start of the year. A lot of people thought they might be on the downslide. You were one of those people, one of many.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
No problem. You had the odd thing right as well. Nothing comes to mind right now, but I'm sure it will later on. 27-26, the Maple Leafs outshot the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll come back. More Leafs Nation. Again, the 4-3 final in overtime. Pittsburgh over the Leafs. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Around on the far side, Letang to Malkin to Crosby on the near half court. Back into the slot. Drop pass. Malkin scores! And that's one of the reasons you got to stay out of the box.
Well, stay out of the box. And if Jenny Malkin, boy, looks like that freight train out of control, certainly against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That made it 2-0. A power play goal is 11th of the year. But ultimately, a 4-3 overtime victory for the Pittsburgh Penguins over the Maple Leafs. A well-earned point for the Maple Leafs when you're down 2-0 on the road, especially in a city like Pittsburgh. Welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Coming up next hour, we'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle. Also, Scott Morrison, our friend and colleague here at Sportsnet, did a great tribute to the late Pat Quinn. You'll hear that in a few minutes' time as well. A reminder, because we'll be breaking away from some of our network stations in about 5 minutes' time. So if your affiliate does not pick up the next hour, you can catch us on sportsnet590.ca online. And Ozzie, we always talk about the keys to victory, and you've had an incredible run of late.
I have.
Yes, you have. Yes, you.
Anyways, the first key that I thought would be important tonight is the Leafs play 5-on-5. We go back to the game in the Air Canada Centre where the Pens, I thought, really dominated by quite a wide margin. In that category. The Leafs got off to a slow start, 5-on-5, but for the most part, Gord, I thought you give them a passing grade against Sidney Crosby's Pittsburgh Penguins. Outshoot the Penguins in Pittsburgh, 27-26. And I wouldn't say that they gave up a lot of quality chances. There was a number of two-on-ones they gave up, but nonetheless, a passing grade. I thought point number two was your penalty killers had to do a good job against the number one power play unit. You mentioned Malkin getting the power play goal in that first period. But after that, I felt the Leaf penalty killers really did a pretty good job. Tyler Bozak gets the shorthanded affair in that second period. And so, I don't know for you, but it may have been a wash as well. So those 2 points being a wash. And point number three was what I thought was going to be a big key to contain Evgeny Malkin. I don't think they did a very good job of that. He had a number of quality scoring chances. He had 3 points on the Knights. He has points in all 10 games at home. He's on fire. So at the end of the day, you get a point. We go halves on the first 2 points, right, on the keys to the game, and they don't get it done on the third. So there you go. You don't come through with the keys. You don't come away with a W.
Well, you know, the 5-on-5, particularly that 2-1 loss against Pittsburgh before the game in Buffalo, that, you know, the score was pretty close that Friday night game at Air Canada Center, but that was the big story. Leafs got killed 5-on-5. It was a 2-1 game, but really it went by the 5-on-5 hockey. It was a much more dominant Pittsburgh effort in that game. So certainly tonight, the Maple Leafs, compared to that game, did a much, much better job.
And one of the things that we can actually look at and say in a positive vein as we look forward to days ahead, games ahead, is obviously David Booth and Joffrey Lupo being inserted back in the lineup. It gives a lot more depth to the Maple Leafs. I think they can play the four lines more so, and in fact, I think outplay a lot of the teams based on the four line combinations with what's going on now with Santarelli and Komarov playing very well. Daniel Winnick, as you know, is a very reliable, dependable player. David Clarkson. So it's going to push guys. I look forward to seeing how this all develops for the Maple Leafs.
And it's, you know, the four lines, it's not so much us or other observers. It seems like Randy Carlyle's really bought into it because he was the reluctant guy. He did go back to 7D a couple times early this season as well.
Well, wait a minute. Reluctant guy. How can you be reluctant when you get those two guys in the lineup? Okay,
yeah.
Well, hear me out here. And then what do? Your foot soldiers that have really been your most consistent components besides your top line. I mean, what are you going to do? Sit down, Komarov, Santarelli. Daniel Winnick was the guy who got shortchanged tonight. And yet, what's there not to like about the way that Daniel Winnick's played for the most part of this season? Then you go to a David Clarkson, for instance, and maybe it's like, wow, Randy's got a choice to say, hey, Naz, 21 games now, 0 points on the power play. You're not on the power play anymore, right?
Well, that's correct.
Sorry if I made that point.
No, your points are fine. But my point was astute, too, just before that, in that he had not been one that really wanted to go to four lines. Didn't matter who the talent was or whatever. I do agree that having these guys coming back from injuries gives him more options to do that. But, you know, even earlier in the season, when those couple of games, he's been traditionally a reluctant guy. With the Leafs, anyway, to go four lines.
Well, one thing that you would tip your hat off, I mean, here's a guy, David Booth. I mean, he's a veteran guy, scored 30 goals. But he did some good things on the defensive end of things.
Absolutely.
In his first game.
Really
so
did.
That's why you can put those guys
well,
and play four
did.
Lines.
I mean, let's face it, Randy Carlyle puts them out there to test the waters and see how they're playing. And they're a line that, particularly because the big line was not all that impressive by and large, so they were a line that showed something. And in a game where there were a lot of things positives the Maple Leafs showed, including Corbinian Holzer, his first game in a while coming up and playing well for the Maple Leafs. And how about Leo Komarov coming up with 2 goals? We're going to come back. We will hear from Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle as part of our continuing coverage. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
On to the right wing side for Kunitz, going to the net. Nice play by Holzer to intercept, and the Leafs counterattack with Kadri. Kadri across the line, trying to squeeze in. Santarelli to Komarov. He scores!
Joe Bowen with the call. He had a lot to get excited about tonight as the Toronto Maple Leafs came back, made a game of it, down 2-0. It's a 3-3 tie in regulation, a 4-3 win for the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. As we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I understand we will hear from Randy Carlyle at some point. We'll also connect with Rob Longley in Pittsburgh.
A lot of positives here, eh, Gord? Especially for Nazem Kadri getting his fifth assist as a second-line centerman, being very creative. The analytical department talking about how great his puck possession skills are, and yet that's only his fifth assist. I tell you what, I had five assists in one game. You know what I'm saying? I know the game's changed, but anyway, well, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I don't know why.
Well, because you talk about it every show.
Sometimes I just throw these things out there as an observation, and sometimes I am perplexed as to why some guys have not been rewarded, don't produce more. Is this me being negative again and looking at a negative perspective on things? And yet I think Nass has done some things that have been positive. And yet, you're rolling your eyes, but that's
no, no.
Okay.
I think sometimes genuinely you're genuinely baffled by something. In all honesty, and it's just, and also because even Randy Carlyle mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the analytics or whatever statistics, Nazem Kadri scores well with puck possession, which is supposed to mean nowadays that more puck possession, better stats, all these other things. Yet it doesn't correlate the same way for him. So it is a bit perplexing.
Yeah, you know, five assists in 20. What is it? What was this, 22 games tonight, 22nd game of the season for the Maple Leafs?
And they, you know, when they're down 2-0, he was moving guys around a little bit. And actually, you know, the big line was the line that wasn't going. So when Kadri was on with other guys, that like, you know, put different guys with the fourth line, did a lot of juggling. I thought Randy Carlyle did a good job with the juggling.
You know what? And here's going to be an interesting observation, because with these two new healthy guys, you know, that have been around the block, it'll be interesting to now observe and watch how some of the other players around them react. It's not going to matter for Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Kessel. And yet, you know, Peter Holland, interesting enough, he'll probably be affected by this change. And now he'll think, wow, you're not going to me because Randy now has to play these other guys, right? So that's just a part of the inside of what a player feels like when some of these healthy guys get back and you've been counted on, and maybe the team has excelled beyond expectations. You know, Peter Holland is one guy where, okay, it's only one game in Pittsburgh. Let's see how all this does play out. But your ice time will be affected because for the first, you know, 15 or 20 games, right, you've logged a lot of ice time, been put in a lot of situations because of injuries.
Yep.
And now things are going to start to change, and let's see how it all plays out.
The other key is, I mean, David Booth scored 30 goals. It was a lot of years ago. So he is the Mason Raymond type this year. Again, Mason Raymond was the same, battling back from injuries, and it seems in a lot of cases that's what it's about. But Joffrey Lupul is the guy with the long-term commitment, and especially, I mean, when he got hurt, that lockout shortened season, he had a lockout shortened, even a lockout shortened season because he was injured, but he was scoring at a better than 40 goal pace. And you go back to it, and it's hope that in a perfect world, ideal world, two lines can score for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that means major contributions from Joffrey Lupul and Nazem Kadri.
Yes, and there were times tonight where you saw Peter Holland playing with with Booth and Joffrey Lupul. And so, you know, for Joffrey Lupul, it's been interesting that even though he has produced, I don't think he's necessarily enjoyed playing with Nazem Kadri. That's all I can tell you. They had some success with Matty Fratton. Remember
that's
that
right.
A few years ago?
Yeah.
But for Joffrey Lupul, I watched him earlier in this season get engaged when he was put up with Phil Kessel and Tyler Bozak.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You just saw that instantaneous. You get it. It was like when I had a chance to play with Eddie Olchuk, and then I had to go back and play with Tom Fergus. You know, this is no slight to Tom Fergus, but I do play pickup hockey.
Not, no slight taken.
No, but you know what I mean with Fergie? There's just not that chemistry.
I see.
Fergie's overhandling the puck and holding on to it too long.
I even sense when you're around him, there's the tension.
Where Eddie was a good puck distributor, much like Tyler Bozak. So you get it? I think you get the imagery.
I get it. No, totally. So, it's just, and a lot of that's so much an intangible as well. No. It just is an intangible.
I've told you this before. You can't really explain it other than I can only imagine there are times when you're visibly watching and seeing a guy like Joffrey Lupul, who his best season here with the Maple Leafs, who was his centerman? Tyler Bozak.
Yeah,
JVR got
that's
here.
Right. That's okay? Right. Tyler Bozak, yeah.
So there you go. An adjustment. It's been an adjustment for him.
And as Matt Fratton, you know, they made an effort to sign him again this year. And it's funny because they kind of went back again that people forget, as Matt Fratton really was a fifth liner this year. Brandon Cousin had passed him in training camp and so on and so on, that Matt Fratton was for a very short period of time, but in the playoffs, mm-hmm. was walking the walk with Nazem Kadri. And that's why they hope they caught something in a bottle, caught magic in a bottle, and hasn't happened that way.
Hey, Matty Fratton in a game over the weekend against the Bulldogs, which the Marlies lost 5-1 on Sunday afternoon. David Booth was in that game as well. Matty Fratton was the only goal scorer. And David Booth, two nights before in Hamilton, was the only goal scorer. So both Leafs going down scores a goal for the Marlies. But Matt Fratton does have to somehow regain his form.
And the Marlies lost 3-2 tonight. They got to get back to scoring some goals as well. We'll hear from Randy Carlisle. When we come back, we'll also chat with Rob Longley from the Toronto Sun. He'll join us from Pittsburgh. A 4-3 Pittsburgh Penguin overtime victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Puck comes back to Letang, though. And on the far half-board, winding with it is Blake Como. The shot scores! A deflection in front, but it might be the hat-trick goal for Blake Como.
Well, that was it, the overtime goal. Blake Como, how about that? Gives the Pittsburgh Penguins a 4-3 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, of course, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers.
Well, one of the things tonight, Gord, Sidney Crosby picked up 2 assists, not as a dominating performance as Evgeny Malkin, who had 1 goal and 2 assists, and yet that second assist in overtime on the Blake Como hat-trick gives Crosby 800 points. And by the way, it took him 571 games to reach 800 points, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me here.
I'm right here. I'm listening. I'm hanging at you. Give me more. How many games?
Don't lose me.
It's up to you not to lose me.
How many games do you think it took Wayne Gretzky to reach 800 points?
1,800. Is that high?
352.
Okay, well,
games.
Give me a chance. Okay,
352.
Give me a chance.
Games.
I was going to say about 450. In all honesty.
Yeah, Mario Lemieux was next at 410,
mm-hmm.
and then Bossy 525, Peter Stastny 531, Jari Kurri 558, and so. Obviously, the game has changed.
Yeah.
You know, Gretz was, look at all the guys that were like 150, 160, you know, that era of scoring. And yet, a great accomplishment. 572 games it took Crosby. So,
yeah.
Anyways, point of note tonight with that game winner in overtime on the Como. Crosby hits 800 career points.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure Sid's listening right now. And
on his way home, or is he taking the subway in Pittsburgh?
Our show would be better than any show in Pittsburgh, I'll tell you that much. And Blake Como, how many games do you think it's going to take for him? You know, we were talking about early on, give him credit. This is a guy who did not score a ton of goals when he played with the Kelowna Rockets. That wasn't really his role in junior hockey either, but has that 24-goal season a few years ago with the New York Islanders. And then you really have to reinvent yourself. You get different roles and that along the way. And all of a sudden, as you mentioned, an injury to Pascal Dupuis, and he gets an opportunity, and not just a hat trick tonight. He's got 8 goals for the season, and by the way, all eight have been scored in home ice.
Yeah, isn't that a great stat?
It is a great stat. Come up with one better.
Well, he had 5 goals all last year in 61 games.
That's not better.
That's a great stat.
No, it's not. The 8 goals on home ice.
Anyways, it's all about opportunity and who you play with.
That's
right?
The point I made,
and
yeah.
So congratulations. You know, Dupuis goes down with an injury. Como takes advantage of it.
So he's at Sydney's 800-point party.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, right?
On their subway ride home in Pittsburgh.
We're off the subway now, okay? Oh. I always said, like, right when the game ends is when we're walking to the subway. We keep waiting for Rob Longley. Randy Carlisle, is this coming Pony Express, the tape? Like,
is he coming by Morse code, Matt, or what?
Or did he whisper? Is it broken telephone with all the dads up in the box? Like, they just whisper it around?
I mean, are they coming home tonight or staying over in Pittsburgh?
I would think they're coming home tonight. It's only a 1-hour flight. It's like one of the closest places to come. So anyway, so I just keep making up stuff as we go. Oh, how about this? Marty Brodeur interesting that finally he gets a chance. And St. Louis is one of the places. He's got a brutal lifetime record. Didn't play the Blues very often, but in St. Louis, like a save percentage of under 900. And right now just on a tryout. But Brian Elliott got hurt last night. You could see his frustration when he was taken out of the game, and you knew something had gone awry. But he's been waiting and waiting and waiting, and I guess came to realize honestly that this would be the type of situation. Because last year, he wasn't a great backup mentor for Corey Schneider. Like, he wasn't. He wasn't a guy that sat there and said, yeah, I'll play my 15 or 20 games. And that's one reason New Jersey didn't re-sign him.
Well, no, Corey Schneider is the number one goaltender, right?
And he was last year.
The reason why that you traded for Schneider was that he was going to be the guy in New Jersey. Now, this is a different scenario going into St. Louis with an injured goaltender in Brian Elliott, right?
Yep.
But what I don't understand is, like, okay, so tell me when this works out. You know, going on a tryout, so what, do they want to see if he's still got it as far as a practice player? Like, honestly, like, what do you do?
Well, why is he doing this? Like, why is he doing? Why is Marty Berdur? I understand you want to play. I understand, like, I imagine it was hard for you.
But it's going to take a while. Let's go on a tryout for a week and David Backus was roof daddied it on me, and okay. I don't think we can sign him.
Does he want to play against his kid when he finally makes the Devils? I don't know. What is it? You know, you went through it. You finished up and you enjoyed your career in the IHL, right? At the end of your, you know, it was a nice way to finish.
Yeah, 31 goals when I thought I was washed up.
Boy,
in the IHL.
Did you ever get 5 assists in a game? Another one of those stories?
I thought I'd just fire that out there. I wasn't washed up.
I never said you were washed up. 31 goals in the IHL.
Oh, boy.
But did you get out of your system, or did you want one more kick at the NHL? Like, when the day came, did you still want one? I know a lot of, like, Dave Ellett, for example, it's funny. St. Louis gave him a chance. Remember at the end? And he said that actually got it out of his system. When he, midseason, they hired him, they brought him in for a few games, and it got it out of his system. Seems like a lot of guys.
Okay, depending on how long that Elliott is out, I mean, this is an interesting situation, right? A team that can win. So this is obviously very appealing to Marty Berdur. Jake Allen is the backup goaltender. He's a rookie, okay? So this is a pretty neat scenario there, But all I can tell you, Gord, is that when I did go down to the minors my first year, did I say I scored 31 goals there that year?
You said it was the minors.
It was Pittsburgh's affiliate in Cleveland, okay, the old IHL.
I think Marty Dahlman got 50 1 year, so 31's
no big
deal.
By the way, I got called up by Craig Patrick at the end of the season, would I come for the playoffs? And believe it or not, you're going to be shocked by this, but I said I didn't want to.
Why would you say that?
Well, can I give you a couple of reasons?
Obviously, I need the reasons, yeah.
You know, number one, it was a great season in the minors in Cleveland, even though I could have had a chance to play. There was no guarantees in Pittsburgh, even though they lost in Game 7 of Florida the year that Florida went to the Cup Final. And I figured if I was there, we would have gone to the Cup. And my daughter was very young, and there was just a lot of things that I did not feel like I wanted to live out of a hotel for the playoff run. Stupidly, selfishly, chance to play with Mario Lemieux and all that kind of stuff.
But you were promised on his line?
Been there, done that. No, I wasn't promised anything other than go
up there. You could have been Blake Dunlop.
Well, Brad Lauer was there. Dave McElwain was there.
Okay.
You know, for the playoffs. And I decided I did not want to do that. So,
well, you weren't guaranteed you were going to play. You're kind of be one of the black aces, but you never know.
Didn't I not tell you that Pittsburgh lost to 7 games to Florida in the semifinals that year? Could have gone to the Cup Final. And
no, you're just telling me
I could
me
have been
now.
A difference maker. You know
what? You wouldn't be doing
just
this
like
show?
Just like Kiprios. Remember Kipper in the Stanley Cup Final? You got the one game?
I actually don't.
Okay.
I actually don't.
So anyways,
don't
that's a pretty good comparison, right? the positive effect. Nick, if you're out there listening, I'm only kidding.
We all remember Nick's role for sure in the Stanley Cup Final. Well, anyway, that was a good story. It actually is a good story.
Isn't it heartfelt?
Well, it is, but I don't get why. Just you're almost answering the same thing. You said it was uncle for you. It was a nice way. And I'm saying, why is Marty Brodeur putting himself through? Why is he subjecting himself to being, you know, player number 72 or something, like a guy?
He wants another challenge. He wants another challenge.
Well, this is hanging in there. This isn't a challenge. This is being desperate, isn't it? Like, seriously. Like,
Okay, well, we have Marty on line one. What'd you want to say, Marty to Gord?
I'd love to hear what Marty has to say. Maybe we'll find out more as things get going. I mean, I like his competitiveness.
How old is Marty Berdur?
Was he in his 40s?
42?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he's, thing is, he's
been... old was Johnny Bauer when he won the Stanley Cup.
You never know.
No mask either.
I know.
Well, no, you're right. It's perplexing. We would have thought the career was over for Marty Brodeur, but maybe he wants to go with another one kick at the can, right?
Well, all more power to him. Wish him a class act. That's for sure. Very loyal to New Jersey. Took less money than he could have got in free agency to stay there for so many years. But we'll get back to tonight's game, a 4-3 overtime win. Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Rob Longley covering the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League for the Toronto Sun, joining us from Pittsburgh. I know you just finished your stories and all that. That we'll catch in tomorrow's Sun, or of course online right now, the way it works in 24/7 media. But there were so many and good storylines. Sometimes it's hard to find one. There were a lot of good things tonight, Rob.
Yeah, there really was, guys. I mean, I thought the Leafs overall played a pretty good game. When you put yourself in a hole on basically the first shift of the hockey game, and then, you know, go down to a team like Pittsburgh 2-0 just 12 minutes in, you're not really hoping for the best at that point. But, you know, the shot clock and other things were telling a different story much of the night. And to their credit, a team that we've seen get discouraged on too many occasions this season didn't do that, and they fought their way back in it, and, you know, really made it extremely difficult, I thought, for the Penguins to play their game for much of the night.
Rob, quick question for you. Nickname. Do you have a nickname? I don't like calling guys by their full name. Rob Longley.
Well, I suppose if I was an NHLer, it'd be obvious, right? Wouldn't it be Longs? Is that
Longs,
what it'd be?
Longs. Okay, Longs.
You can go with Longs if you want.
Hey, Gordo. Anyways, yeah, you know what?
We're with Longs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, the Leafs, as you did mention, fall down 2 goals in the first period, fought back. And I think one of their goals has been with Randy to try to get this team to buy in that playing well without the puck. This is a bit of a building block. This is 3 games now where they've kept the opponent, fairly good as far as the shots on net, 27-26. For the Maple Leafs against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So you would have to give them a passing grade as some positive things. And, of course, Corbinian Holzer, I felt, with a guy that perhaps was passed by in the Toronto Marley organization, yet he comes up and plays a real solid game on the back end with Stefan Robida.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. You know, Carlisle basically 3 games ago made it sort of an unofficial mantra that try to hold the opposition to 25 shots or less. And that's easier said than done against a lot of teams, especially Pittsburgh. But the way I clocked it, they didn't get their 10th shot on net until 27 minutes into the game. And at the end of regulation, they only had 24. And this is coming from a team who had 40 and 41 shots on the Leafs in the other 2 games that they played this year. So they're starting to do some things well that way. And Jonathan Bernier alluded to it after the game. And what he is seeing is he's seeing the team really limit a lot of those 3-and-on to 2-on-1 odd man breaks that not only lead to shots on goal, but possession time. And, you know, it seems like everybody on the ice is starting to buy into that now. We're seeing a better back check. We're seeing a little less sloppiness in their own zone. And it's resulting in more time that the opposition doesn't have the puck. And I think that's what they've been trying to stress since training camp. And, you know, maybe it takes 20 games or so for it to sink in, but it's starting to now. And, yeah, Holzer, I thought, was pretty solid tonight. He certainly made a great play on, I believe it was the first Komarov goal. He intercepted the puck in the Leafs zone and then got them off in transition. But he had a couple of big hits. And, you know, really for a guy who was probably a little bit nervous, I thought he had a solid game. Carlisle's very cautious in what he's saying about him both before the game and afterwards. He doesn't come in. He doesn't expect him to come in here and do anything that Roman Polak did. But the fact that he could be somewhat reliable for the minutes that he had tonight, I think, is a positive for what is a question mark now on the blue line without Polak in the lineup.
So we're mentioning tonight as well, 2 guys returning, first ever game for David Booth, and then Joffrey Lupo coming back. And it seemed like, obviously, that this was a fourth line that Randy Carlisle was quite comfortable with.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought that, by the end of the first period that we would have moved Lupo up elsewhere, but you know, it may have been a combination of things. Maybe he was happy with the way that the other lines were performing. I thought Nazem Kadri had one of his better games over the last little while. And, maybe he just wanted to make sure that both of them got their sea legs under them. I thought Booth was energetic at times, as was Lupo. Lupo had a good scoring chance late in the third period and just failed to connect them. But Carlisle said afterwards that, you know, they both got kind of the amount of ice time that he was expecting. And, I would assume that that'll ramp up a little bit once we get on to games this weekend and next week.
Rob, maybe this is an unfair statement by me, but I'm going to go out there and throw it after.
First time for everything.
Well, you know what? The last couple of games, two shorthanded markers by Tyler Bozak. And, you know, at the end of the day, 9 goals on the season thus far. He goes about his business pretty effectively and efficiently. Good on the faceoffs. Real good chemistry with JVR and Phil Kessel. I'm going to throw him out there as perhaps being one of the most underrated players around the National Hockey League, you know, right now. Is that an overstatement by me, or just your overall thoughts having watched Tyler Bozak emerge as a, you know, one of the real surprises, I think, in quite some time for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Ozzy. I guess it was in the Tampa game that he dominated the faceoff circle going up against Stamkos much of the night. You know, really, he may be their best breakaway guy. Carlisle will always use him in a shootout, and we saw both of those shorthanded goals, the one tonight and the one against Detroit. He's got a nifty little move. And tonight's one, the puck was rolling on him, and he still was able to bury it beyond Fleury. And Carlisle said the other day, he said that, you know, he was asked specifically about Bozak and his contributions, and he said it's a funny thing with him. It's like he goes about his business out there. Like, he's not a flashy center. He's not the prototypical big NHL center that Leafs fans have wanted for years and have needed for years. But he goes about his business out there rather efficiently. And at the end of the night, you look at the score sheet, and more nights than not, you see that he's won his share of faceoffs, and odds are there's going to be a point or two beside his name. So I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, for all the crying around the Leafs about the lack of a number one center, well, this guy isn't a prototypical one yet. He's pretty efficient and probably in that sense underrated.
Well, as well, you know, take a look. We're going through the Leaf lineup that way. I think Dion Phaneuf played some of his better hockey of late. I think as much as we say goodbye to Salute Gate, when it all came out in the wash Saturday, both on the ice and off the ice, it seemed like Dion's strongest performance, and he's done a lot of that on the ice of late.
Yeah, he was really good against Detroit on Saturday, and, you know, solid again tonight. And he spends much of the night going up against Sidney Crosby, and, you know, Crosby, while he did get 2 points, including an assist on the game winner, for much of the night, he was -2. And, you know, I'm not sure if you can put that all on the work of Dion Phaneuf, but it's certainly a factor. He seems to be simplifying his game maybe a little bit and trying to be that force in front of his own net that they need him to be, and just a little bit more responsible in their own zone. And as we've talked about whenever we're on here, it seems that he's such a flashpoint for abuse from Leafs fans. And I'm sure it feels good for him to have a couple of steady games like he's had, and it's certainly, we're going to need more of that going forward with that Roman Polak in the lineup.
Rob, with David Booth and Joffrey Lupo back in the lineup, obviously more depth for the Maple Leafs up front, and I try to compare this, you know, for Gord and say some guys take it in a negative type of thing when guys come back in the lineup, and for whatever reason, there are players that were once thriving in situations when needed to bond, you know, needed to, you know, be counted upon. And then when other guys come back, they're not used as much. And I'm kind of just wondering, as we just look at these guys coming back to injury, and, you know, maybe a guy like Peter Holland, for me, although not a real standout performance tonight, he scored the other night against Detroit, but just going to be interesting to see how Randy spreads his lines out now and who actually benefits and who actually maybe takes a step back. Any thoughts in that particular vein for you?
Yeah, I think we're going to probably see a lot of juggling going forward, and he's not going to be shy about mixing it up. And you know, I think in the minds of the coaching staff, and it's been this way right from the start of training camp, it's that they want to have competition for these jobs and these spots. They want the forwards to earn their ice time. And, you know, Carlisle has said it ever since he's been here that he really wants to roll 4 lines. And if he ever gets to the point where he can trust who he has out there to do that, then, you know, maybe this team becomes a little bit more dangerous, because to a team, any opponent that we talk to when we see them face the Maple Leafs, they talk about that team speed that the Leafs have. And not only is it dangerous, if you're rolling 4 lines like that, by the third period, you're starting to with a good forecheck, you're starting to wear down the opponent. And I think, you know, in Randy's perfect world, that's what he would like to have. And when you start to look at the depth that they have up front now, it certainly emerges as a bit of a possibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it certainly emerges a nice point tonight on the road when you're down by two goals in Pittsburgh, even though you lose in overtime. Rob, look forward to your work and the sun. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy your night. Thanks.
Will do. Rob Longley joining us from the Toronto Sun. 4-3 win, overtime win, Pittsburgh Penguins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just taking a look at the Leafs' schedule now coming up. It's a lot of home games because they're going to be away for the World Juniors, so over Christmas quite a bit. So Saturday, the Washington Capitals in town. Capitals losing tonight. Alexander Ovechkin did play and got both the goals for the Capitals in a 3-2 loss to the New York Islanders. And then you take a look, Ozzy. We head into December. Tuesday, the home against Dallas. Thursday, home against New Jersey. Saturday, home against Vancouver. Tuesday, home against Calgary.
Five in a row, and a real
gap of days at home. And I don't know if that's always a good thing or not. I mean, you want to make some hay. You want to make your building a tough place to play, and this gives you a good opportunity to do it. Here you have a lot of days off if Randy Carlyle wants to run practices. It seems like they're always crying about a lack of practice time, but then teams seem to give guys a lot of days off well.
The coaches are complaining about a lack of practice time.
But then they give days off.
Figure. The players don't want to practice. They just want to play their games, get Sundays off, and repeat the cycle again, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's just the nature of it. It's frustrating for a coach, and yet these are the dog days in many respects. But, yeah, make hay while the sun shines. Certainly here on home ice court, right? What are you, one game above 500 at home? And here's your chance right now to put some things behind you and start to get those wins in the column.
The way they started tonight, got to say, and the one thing is that note about something like eight games the Leafs have given up a goal in the first 4 minutes. And again, they do it tonight in the first 26 seconds. And you look at it and down 2-0, a team like Pittsburgh, which has really bounced back to be one of the elite teams. So you got to be happy. Like, it's one of those, both teams go home happy. Pittsburgh comes back, gets the overtime win. Leafs get the 1 point.
No, you know what? You're going to take positives out of this game without question. Yeah, you know what? You want to clean up that first minute of play, you know, without a doubt. But yet there are positives that you take away on the road. Get a point. Now get ready. Your dads are still going to be here. OV coming into town. Fun trip for the dads.
Yeah, a fun trip. It certainly was. A lot of fun after the first period. And when we come back, we'll be back, of course, on Saturday. And we'll tee up that game against the Washington Capitals. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Of course, Telec, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.